Well, good morning, everybody. We're glad you're with us this morning. You can smell those hamburgers cooking downstairs for the picnic. We're going to be having the church picnic downstairs in the Fellowship Hall instead of over at Melville Park, obviously, because the weather didn't cooperate today. But we're still going to join together downstairs. If you didn't bring anything, doesn't matter. Join us anyway. Come on downstairs and have some fun with us as we'll be having a good time eating and fellowshipping together. So we hope that you will join us. We want to welcome those that are watching this morning on our Facebook Live, and we want to welcome you to our service this morning as well. Just a few announcements as we get started this morning. Want to remind you about September the 19th, and that'll be back to church Sunday right here, and we'll make sure we have a potluck afterwards, and we have some things we'll be doing that day as well. So mark down September the 19th for back to church Sunday. We also are in need of individuals who would like to count money after the service. So if you're interested in doing that, it doesn't take a long time to do it. Please see me after the service and we can get you situated with the money counters. And individuals to drive the bus as well. If you would like to drive the bus one Sunday a month or two Sundays a month, we would love to have you as we're using the bus to go and pick up individuals who are not able to come to church. So if you're interested in driving the bus, please let me know as well. And the flowers this morning that are on the altar are presented in memory of John Jay and Gertrude Dietrich, and they're in memory of by Bill and Jean Lutz and the family. So the flowers this morning are in memory of John and Gertrude Dietrich and John and Jean Dietrich by Bill and Jean Lutz and their family. So we wanted to take note of that this morning as well. Also, just a reminder that the Dove will be out next week for September. It's hard to believe that the kids are going back to school and that will be in September. So that will be out and available next Sunday when you come to church for the September activities and as we get into the fall and things are going on there. Also, don't forget that you can give online if you're watching at ColumbiaUnitedMethodist.org. Just click on the Give button. Or this morning our offering plates are located in the back, or you can drop off your offering at the church or mail it. Let us join together in prayer this morning. Lord, we come before you now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for what you're doing in our lives. We give you thanks and praise for bringing us here this morning as we come and we worship you and we give you thanks for all you've done for us. We ask, God, that you be pleased with the worship that we present to you, God. For it's not about us, it's about you, and we're here to thank you. We want to give thanks, God, for the picnic right after service today, a time just to get together and fellowship, a time just to catch up with one another, a time to come together. And thank you for the individuals who prepared food for the picnic right afterwards today. We pray, God, a special blessing upon those who cannot be here due to other circumstances, that you would be with them, Lord, and that they might be able to join us again. And Lord, we just come before you now, and we just ask, God, that you be present in this hour of worship, and that you would be allowing us to experience you, that your Spirit would fill us, and that we might hear you speak to us. We give you thanks for the rain outside as it's needed. And we also want to come before you and want to think about the people in New York and Maine and Connecticut that are preparing for the arrival of Hurricane Henry today. We also, Lord, want to be thinking about those in Afghanistan, the soldiers, the families, Americans, and the Afghans that are trying to get out, that you would be with those individuals and that you might provide a safe passage for those that want to get out. And so, God, we come before you now, and we lift all these concerns to you as school starts tomorrow as well, that you would be with kids and teachers as they go back and they start a new week, a new year, that you would pour out a blessing upon them as well, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for the COVID virus as well, Lord. There's just a lot of things going on, but you are still God, and you are still in control. And so we look to you by our faith, and by our faith we believe, God, that you will make a way. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us worship together.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you here this morning. Please stand as we come to join together as a church to praise and worship Jesus. And let's focus on his greatness as we lift our voices in singing this morning the song Great Things. Let's worship our King together. has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Thank him this morning for the great things that he has done in this past week in your life. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive. You break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. We sing hallelujah, hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive. You break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. With Jesus, your Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great. Jesus, for conquering the grave. Thank you for freeing us from our sins. We give you glory and our praise for the great things that you have done for us, O Lord. Join together as we sing, to God be the glory, great things he has done.
God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You may be seated. So we sing Refiner's Fire. Lord, our prayer is that you will make our heart pure as gold and precious silver. From our sin, so we're ready and willing to do your will. Amen.
Let us pray together this morning. Lord, we come before you now and we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we might hear you speak to us today. We come and we ask, God, that you would refine us, that we're ready to do your will and not our will, that we're ready for you, God, to purify us this morning. And so, Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Last week, we started talking about temptation, and we talked about how there are many temptations that we are faced and how we could overcome those temptations. And We talked about how each and every one of us are faced with temptations, no matter how big or how small they might be, no matter how young or how old we are, that we always face temptations. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the temptation of trying to fit in, because again, no matter how young you might be, no matter how old you might be, there still is this temptation to fit in. That we all want to feel like we're a part of something. That we all want to feel like that we're part of something bigger that's going on in the world and our lives around us. That we want to find a place to fit in where we feel we have worth and we have value, where we belong. A lot of times that's why individuals fall into temptation, because they're just looking for that place to belong, and in doing so, they begin to belong and fit in with the wrong individuals and wrong crowd, because they've been pressured to be something that they're not. And as they are tempted to fit in, given that temptation, then all of a sudden they're becoming what the world wants them to be versus what God has called them to be. Every one of us wants to fit in. I don't think any of us wake up in the mornings and we look in the mirror and we say, wow, I have tons of great friends, or hey, you know what, I fit in wherever I go very well, that I never have to worry about being an outcast or feeling anxious about whether or not people are going to talk to me. I don't think any of us say, you know what, I don't have a problem in my life of fitting in. No, I have the problem where I don't fit in. I don't think any of us wake up and say to ourselves each day, boy, I have a problem because wherever I go, I just fit in and people just want to be like me. I think each of us would probably be honest and say when we wake up every morning that we still have that anxiousness of saying, boy, that I hope I fit in. That I hope I fit in at church when I go to church. I hope that I fit in with the community. I hope that I fit in at work. I hope that I fit in with my friends in the community. I hope that I fit in. Because we're more concerned about fitting in because we want to be accepted and have purpose. The pressure is so great that so many times we don't even know that we're dealing with it. I remember when I was in 7th grade and 8th grade that I began to hang out with the Honor Society group. Now you have to understand that these individuals were getting 3.0s and were on their way to fast track to college to getting a good education, and would get like 13 at that time. The SATs, I think, were like 1,600. They would get between 1,400 and 1,500 in the SATs. They were very smart individuals. And then you had me, the individual that no matter how hard I studied or tried, I only got C's. No matter how much effort I put into it, I just was not a good test taker. And as a result, in hanging out with these individuals, they decide, you know what, you know, we're just not a good fit for one another. You know, we're getting A's, and we can just, United Nations, study and ace the test, and here you are. And so, as we used to sit together at lunch, one day they decided that they were no longer going to sit with me, and I remember coming in and sitting at a table all by myself going, what happened? I felt alone. I felt unwanted. And then I began to hang out with a group of junior hires that weren't such a good influence on me, and they said, hey, come on, why don't you come hang out with us? And I began to hang out with them. I began to feel accepted. I began to feel like, hey, I'm wanted. And as a result, in hanging out with those individuals, I got several lunch detentions. I got after-school detentions. I know it's hard to believe, right? That Pastor Tom got detention, right? All because those individuals were changing who I was. And I was being made into something that I wasn't, because I was trying to conform to fit in. All because I wanted to be accepted and have purpose. All because I wanted to make sure that when I woke up that morning, I knew I had a place that I belong. It changed me as a teenager in those middle school years. But it still happens as adults, that when we get older, that we begin to try to do the same thing. We begin to fit in with individuals. We try to be something that we're not. We try to pretend that we actually know things about topics that we might not know anything about. We pretend that, you know what, we are just kind of in with this group because we really want to be with people. And as adults, people can influence us and change us to be something that we're not, even as adults. They can change who we are. And that's the temptation of fitting in. The temptation is changing who God made us to become something that we really aren't. We do this for several reasons. Because we want to be accepted. We want to be accepted. We don't like it when people reject us. We don't like it when we don't fit in. Every single one of us likes to be accepted. Basically, being a part of a group. We all, no matter what, want to fit in, and sometimes we'll compromise our values and our beliefs just to fit in. So many times we'll just go with the flow because we want to be accepted. So many times in the church we'll go with the flow. So many times in our families, so many times at our jobs, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, we kind of go off the flow because we want to be accepted and fit in. Because we're all looking to belong. We have been formed with that sense of belonging that when God made us with that sense of wanting to belong. And He made us to belong to Him, to desire Him. But so many times we belong to other things of this world. We belong to maybe a project that we give ourselves time to. We find acceptance and identity in that project we might do. We might find acceptance and identity in volunteering. We might find acceptance and identity in our job status. All because we want to belong. I remember in soccer when I played in middle school and high school that when you were part of a team, you were part of that team, that you were supposed to sit with that team. That if you sat with anybody else besides that team, then you were looked at as an outcast. And so, of course, you sat with your team because you wanted to belong. You didn't want people making fun of you on the team. You didn't want people pulling jokes on you on the team because you wanted to belong. So you gave up your other friends because you wanted to belong. Even as a pastor and adult, myself, you still search for belonging and acceptance because you just want to fit in. You want to belong to something. Everybody wants acceptance. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to have an identity. And so many times our identity is tied to how people see us and what people say about us than how God sees us. We try to fit in because we want companionship. And companionship is being friends with anybody that would say, you know what, I would do anything for you. That we like companionship and knowing that we can turn to somebody at any point in time, no matter who they might be. Whether they're good influences or bad influences, it doesn't matter because we want companionship. Because God created us for companionship. He created us to be in a relationship with Him. But so many times we try to fill that void of companionship with individuals who might not be a good influence on us, individuals who begin to change our Christian values so we become all things to all people, and our morals begin to shift. You see, companionship is like the story about a little kid in Minnesota in the middle of winter that he was walking on an icy lake. And as he was walking on the icy lake, it began to crack and he fell in and he yelled out for his dog. The dog came and the dog saw where the boy was at in the ice, and the dog ran right over to the ice, not thinking about what might happen. And he dove in the hole and he pulled the young boy out of the ice. The dog wasn't thinking about himself. The dog didn't say, hey, I don't want to get wet, or it's too cold, or save yourself. No, that dog ran to save that boy in the ice. The dog charged out there as the boy was crying in the water to rescue him and pull him ashore. You see, everybody is looking for companionship. Everybody is looking for belonging. Everybody is looking for individuals that they feel they can support and turn to. Because we're looking for security. We are looking for security in who we are. And so we turn to individuals to find that security, to find the security from stress and anxiety. We will turn to other individuals to say, okay, I'm going to look to you to take away my stress and my anxiety because of the fact that I want to have security. And then when that doesn't happen, then we get frustrated and we get upset and we feel let down and we say, well, you're not the person I thought you were. You're not the friend I thought you were because you let me down. You didn't take my fear and anxiety away. And we put expectations on people that shouldn't be there. Instead of loving the people for who they are and showing grace and mercy, instead of serving them and looking out for their needs above ourselves, we say it's all about me. And we become a consumer in those relationships. And when the people do not reciprocate that back, then all of a sudden it's you let me down because that security they were trying to find is no longer there. You see, this morning we need to be reminded that God accepts us no matter what. That God accepts us no matter how we feel about ourselves. That God accepts us regardless if we have one close friend or 20 close friends. That God accepts us regardless of what other people might think about us, because that's who He is. That God accepts us because He loves us. We know what Scripture says, but God demonstrates His own love for us, that we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. Scripture doesn't say, well, when you finally get your act together, then Christ died for you. It doesn't say when you finally come up with some deal that you and God can hash out that Christ died for you. It says while we were still sinners, while we were still broken, that God accepts us and that God forgives us because of the love He has for us. That God gives us that security, that acceptance, that God gives us the ability to feel part of something and the belonging. Scripture says, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That if we have that relationship with Jesus and we enter in that relationship, we have the acceptance of God, the love of God, regardless of anything that we've done here, regardless of our friendships, that we have a relationship with Jesus, the one that will never let us down. The one who will always be there. You see, through faith, we now belong in God's family. That we don't have to worry about trying to say, well, I want to belong to something. That's what being the church is all about. It's a place of belonging together, a place where we come so that we can worship together, encourage one another, that we're all members of God's family here together. And that we can come together in this place of belonging because of our faith in God. I remember when I was in high school, I thought God was an individual that sat up in heaven and that I was a part of God's workforce, that was more like I was a factory worker, that God was a supervisor up there and God would begin just to tell people what to do and what not to do, and you would just carry out those orders of what God has asked you to do or not to do, that you were just kind of a number in God's little factory setting. That God was distant, and that basically He said, you know, you are employee number 287, and this is what I want you to do. But I was totally wrong as I grew in my faith with God. That God is not distant, that God is right here with us right now, and that God says, hey, I want you to come to my house and hang out. I want you to come to my place of worship and hang out. I want you to have a relationship with me. Why don't you come and spend time with me? That God's not a distant God. God's not a God up there who gives us instructions on what to do, not to do, and what He wants us to do as far as factory workers. No, God says, hey, come to my house after church. Come to my house after school. Come to my house after work. That God invites us over and over to His house each and every day because He wants to spend time with us. He says, you know what? I want to know what's going on in your life. I want you to tell me. I want you to be invested in this relationship. So why don't you come over and let's spend some time together? But so many times we treat God like friends we haven't seen for a long time, and we'll say, it was good catching up with you, and then we won't talk to them for several months or weeks. That's how we treat God so many times. God says, no, I want every single day to catch up with you. I want every single day to talk to you. I want to sit down with you so that we can have a conversation, a relationship. Now, you are no longer strangers, Scripture tells us, to God, and foreigners to heaven, but we are members of His very own family. We are citizens of God's country, and we belong in God's household with every other Christian. That's real belonging. That's real acceptance, knowing that we are always welcome in God's house, that God is always there accepting us, that His arms are always outstretched. That's real belonging. That's real security. That's real acceptance. When He says, just come on over, I'm here waiting for you. And sometimes what that means, sometimes it means that it can be tough to do. Think about that dog that was on that lake that ran out to save the boy on the ice. Think about Jesus who runs out and wants to save us the way that dog saved the boy on the ice. You think about temptation and we're tempted to fit in. It means we're tempted to change something about ourselves. It means we're tempted to change who we really are. It means that we're stepping on that ice like that boy, and at any time we're going to fall in because of that temptation to fit in. Now, as I said last week, temptation is not bad in itself. That God doesn't say, well, if you're tempted, you sin. No, God says that we'll be tempted, but it's how we respond to temptation. And it's interesting because when you look at the two Lord's prayers in Matthew and Luke, that Matthew will say, and deliver us from temptation. And one will say, and lead us not into temptation. And sometimes you can read that and say, well, it sounds like that God is the one who is tempting us because it says, lead us not into temptation. So why would God tempt us? Temptation doesn't come from God. And the translation and the other passage is more clear when it says, and deliver us, meaning the fact of do not lead us, deliver us, that when we're faced with temptation, that God will provide a way out, as we talked about last week. But so many times we'll say, well, God's doing this to me, and He's not. The Lord's Prayer is very clear. It says that He will deliver us, that He will make a way out for us of temptation, but we have a choice to make, whether to take that out or whether to continue to give in to temptation. Some temptation's not bad in itself. It's what we do. Temptation becomes sin when we give in to temptation. That we start out on that ice just a little bit, one step at a time. We're like, oh, this isn't so bad. This is good. And then all of a sudden, as we continue to go out further in the ice, and all of a sudden it starts to crack, and eventually we fall in and we can't get ourselves out because we're in so deep. And we need Jesus to rescue us. You see, so many times, even in the church, in our families, in our community, in our jobs, that we're pressured just to take one little compromise. That we're pressured to say, what's the big deal? Just come on, it's just one little thing. And that one little thing leads to another little thing, to another little thing, until eventually the ice cracks. See, God is the one like that dog that'll come out and rescue us when we give in to temptation. Because God doesn't say, oh, well, you got what you deserve. I'm not going to come for you. Sorry, I told you not to do it. You did it anyway. God doesn't do that. God comes and He saves us from ourselves when we fall into temptation. Every single time. You think this morning when we talk about temptation fitting in, I think the question we all need to ask ourselves this morning is, am I pushing myself so close to a line that I'm not comfortable with where I'm at? That am I getting so close to a line that I'm not comfortable with? How much further will I go? Scripture tells us that when you go through deep waters and great troubles, that He will be with us. That when we go through rivers of difficulty, we will not drown because of who He is. That God is the one who answers our need for acceptance. security for fitting in and companionship. And the security we have is that that love will never end. That unlike individuals who we might think are really good friends of ours at times, and we might drop everything to pour into their lives because you know what? We want to be there for them. We want to be the best individual and best friend we could be for them. And as individuals, sometimes we'll say, you know what? I don't need your friendship anymore. And they might do something that they stab you in the back with and you go, ouch, that hurts because I gave my all. That doesn't happen with God because God's security never fails and God will always be there picking us up, loving us, and caring for us. That God gave His one and only Son that He tells us in John 3:16 that we believe in Him, we will not perish. It doesn't say if you believe in Him that it only lasts for 6 months and then you got to come back to church to get your booster shot. It doesn't say that you need to, you know, come back to church and once a month, you know, renew that and get that done. No, it says it's forever, it's done. That when we accept Christ in our life, it's a one-time thing. Then our lives should be changed because of what Christ has done for us. As I said last week, it's not fire insurance where we can do whatever we want to do. It's insurance in which God loves us, we're accepted, and we're renewed, that our lives should be different each and every day. That God accepts us no matter where our faith might be, and no matter where we're at in our faith journey, whether you're just starting out, whether you know very little about the Bible, to whether you're the best Bible scholar in the world, it doesn't matter. God still is there for us. You see, we have a choice to make this morning. Is it going to be God's way or the world's way? You see, the world's way is based upon performance. The world will judge you based upon your performance. What have you done for me lately? That's how we're judged in the world. We're judged by the fact of, do we know the right people? Are we good enough? We are a performance-based society that sometimes can define our value and how we see ourselves based upon our performances. Whether it's the job and you're given a performance review, that review can define how you see yourself. Because success is determined by performance. Remember the fact that my best friend had to take the SAT about 6 different times. His parents made him study and he made him go to courses because they weren't happy that he got a 1500 on his SAT. No, he could do so much better because his parents were performance based. They said, you know what? You have to at least get a 1550 or a 1575 to be acceptable in their sight. You see, the world will tell us that we only fit in if our performance measures up to the standards. And if it doesn't measure up, then we just don't fit in. But God says we fit in based upon who we are, not about our performance. That God says it's not about what we can do. It's not by our works. It's about what He's done for us and the love that He has for us. You see, He created all of us for the purpose to have that relationship with Him. And it's not about performance. It's not about, well, how many times do I pray a day? How many times do I read my Bible? It's not about how much we give to the church. It's not about that. It's about God and being in relationship with Him, not about performance. You see, we need to ask our question this morning to ourselves, who is it that I'm trying to please? Who am I trying to please, and is it worth the time that I'm giving to it or not? Who am I trying to please, and is it worth it to try to please whoever that might be? You see, we need to come to God of our struggles, and we need to come to God and say, God, here we are, because Scripture says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, I'm going to laugh in your face. No, it says, come to me, and I will give you rest. That's what the Scripture means when it says that my load is light, because God wants to take our struggle, and He wants to give us the peace that transforms our mind. As we were read this morning in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the power of this world. That we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we need to allow God to shape us and mold us. that it needs to be God's way, not the world's way. You see, the temptation to fit in is just the aspect of, well, I just want to belong. And we belong with God. So as we go this week, we need to ask ourselves that question. Who are we trying to please? And is it worth it? Because that'll define how we have our relationships with each other. It'll define how we live our lives. It'll define whether or not we find true security and acceptance and belonging from God. Today, God wants to transform us. It's a process, not perfection. It's not going to happen overnight. And God understands that. But God is still with us through the process of becoming more like Him each and every day. Because God's love for us is not performance-based. It's not on what we can do for Him. It's for what He did for us. Let's pray. God, thank You for allowing us to be in Your house of worship this morning. And thank You that You love us no matter what. Thank You that we are accepted, that we belong, that we have true companionship and security that lasts forever, that comes from You, God. And I pray that each and every one of us here today, that when we feel the pressure of what the world puts on us, the pressure to fit in, the pressure to be something that we're not, the pressure to not be authentic, that we'll be reminded of who we are in You and how You created us to be. That we would find our worth and value in You. Amen.
During this sermon series on temptation, we've been learning a song that's called Lord, I Need You. And it talks about our relationship with Jesus and that we need to rely on Him every day and every hour. So as we go through the sermon series, you'll be learning this song. So please stand as we sing, Lord, I Need You. May it be your prayer this morning. You're my hope and stay. Oh Lord.
at this time, if there's any kids or teens that are starting school, have started school, if you want to come up this morning, there's any teachers or administrators or anybody that volunteers in the schools, if you want to come up this morning, and we're just going to have a prayer for all those individuals that are involved in school, whether you're a volunteer or you're teaching or you're going to school. So if you would all come up front this morning, and let's have a time of prayer for these individuals. And Dylan, you can come on down too. Come on, Cody. And as we do this morning, William, come on up. Let's extend our hands out this morning in front of us. And let us just lift these individuals and all the teachers, administrators, and students that are going back to school. Lord, we come before you now and we pray a special blessing, Lord, upon these individuals as our students go back to school. As they go back, the summer comes down to an end and they begin to regain the relationships in school and they begin to learn, that you would be with them, Lord, that you would give them a good school year. Be with the teachers and volunteers and administrators, that you would pour out a special blessing upon them as well, Lord, as they go back and they begin to inspire and they begin to encourage and pour into kids' and teens' lives. So thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them, Lord. And we want to pray specifically for our Columbia School District here, Lord, as they go back to school as well and be with the administration, as there's been some changeovers there too, that you would be with them. And Lord, once again, Lord, we lift these individuals to you, to your love and your care. Amen. You guys can go and be seated again. And this morning, as we finish our time together, I hope that you'll join us downstairs for a time of fellowship and food as we continue our time of worship together, because worship is not just coming and singing praises and hearing a sermon. Worship is building relationships with one another and being connected to one another. That's part of worship as well. So may the grace of God, as we leave this place, go with us each and every day, and that you may experience His peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Amen and amen. Go in peace.